I invite your attention to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 1. We're about to wrap up our study of this book of 1 Corinthians. Next month, the month of September, we'll be beginning a new study, and more will be coming on that. But right now, I call your attention to know the joy of giving. The joy of giving from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? 1 Corinthians 16, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given orders to the churches of Galatia. So you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever approved by you, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it's fitting that I go also, they will go with me." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Jesus, for giving your life as the sacrifice for our sin. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation that you've offered as a gift to all who call upon you. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to work for it, and we can't work for it. Thank you, Lord, that we can't earn it, but it's a gift that we very simply just receive by calling upon your name. Thank you, Lord, for the lives that you've changed, the lives that you're going to change also. And Lord, open our hearts and our minds to your word. Give us understanding. Give us insight that we may be made better servants for you. And Lord, above all, I pray for those in this service who are lost, who have never established that personal relationship with you, who have never called upon you to be their Lord and their Savior. I pray that, Lord, as they're gathered now in your presence, that they will experience your conviction, and not just your conviction, but the great love that you have for them, and that they may know that you are the answer to their life. I pray that today, Lord, will be the day that they're saved. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I'm excited about this message. This message is not a message that is about banging you over the head about giving. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite, okay? I want you to know the joy of giving. Do you know the joy of giving? What a blessing, what a pleasure, what a privilege it is to give. That's what I want you to get from this message today. The first thing I want you to get from this message is the joy of being prepared. Paul said in the text that we just read, he said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints." First thing I want you to notice is there was a need. The saints of Jerusalem had fallen on hard times, and we don't know the whole story. We do know that when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as a Jew, you became an outcast, literally. Okay, you were disowned oftentimes from your family, and oftentimes you would lose the lands or the inheritance that you had, and also oftentimes you would lose your friends and your business because people would no longer do business with you. But another thing we know about what was going on in Jerusalem is there was a great famine in the land. So from every side, these saints at Jerusalem were facing hardship. Okay? They were in great need. And Paul, knowing this great need, had presented to the church at Corinth, and he said, so that there won't be collections when I come, he said, do it now. Make preparations right now. Be prepared so that when I come, I can focus on the more important, the grander spiritual issues, and we won't have to worry about the money deal. Okay? I understand what Paul was saying. I hate preaching on money. Do you hate hearing about money? Don't say amen, because every once in a while I have to preach on it. I never want us to come to that point where money's our focus. Our focus is Jesus. Okay? However, there is a joy that goes along with mastering our money. and giving. And that's what I want you to get today. And Paul's first point was, you be prepared to give. You be prepared in advance before I get there to give. Okay? Now, today I want you to consider this. Our greatest need in being prepared to give is very simply to open our eyes for the opportunity to give. Think about it. Our greatest need in being prepared to give is to open our eyes to see the opportunities to give. And I'm not just talking about church contribution, although that would be included. I'm talking about everywhere you go, wherever you live your life, open your eyes when you get up in the morning. Our prayer should be, Lord, give me an opportunity to make a difference. Lord, give me the opportunity to be a blessing. You see, the problem is most often we're not looking. Most often we get up in the morning and the first thought in our mind is what? I don't want to get out of bed. Does anybody else have that problem? Say amen if you have that problem. Man, I'm a preacher and I have that problem. Sometimes I just don't want to get up. Sometimes, but I always get up anyway. All right? Sometimes when we get up, we think the first thought on our mind is, not only I don't want to get up, so this will be the second thought on our mind is, I don't want to go to work. Right? And the thought pattern of our mind, it's all about what I've got to do. Okay? I've got to go to work. I've got to make a living. I've got to chase the kids to ball games and all their activities tonight. And I'm so busy. I've got so much to do today. By the end of the day, when you lay down at night, you're thinking, oh, praise God, the day's over. I would suggest to you that you have wasted a day when you let life control you instead of you controlling life. Okay? What I'm going to suggest to you is when you wake up in the morning, instead of saying, I don't want to get up, oh, I've got to go to work and I've got to do all this thing. First thing, let the first thought on your mind, the first prayer from your heart be, God, show me an opportunity to give and to be a blessing. And it will absolutely amaze you what happens in your life. Okay? When you go throughout that day looking for that opportunity to bless someone. For example, how many times have you been in Walmart, standing in line, and the person in front of you didn't have enough money to pay for their stuff? Has anybody ever been there? I'm the only one that ever does that. I've seen it. Oh, come on, y'all got to get on board with it. I'm not going to rake you over the coals this morning, I promise. Okay? How many of you been at Walmart and saw somebody that couldn't pay their bill? All right. That's better. You know what's really sad? I found myself doing that, in that position sometimes, and it never dawns on me that I could have been a blessing to them and covered whatever they were lacking until I was in the car and it was too late. You ever done that? I should have. One of the saddest things that I think happens in my life is to get 5 minutes after the fact and say, I should have. All right? See, the problem was I wasn't prepared. I wasn't looking. I wasn't looking to be a blessing. How many people do you know that you could just bless by taking, stopping by a restaurant, picking up their dinner, and just leaving it at their doorstep? You ever thought about doing something like that? About giving? You ever thought about just waking up and dedicating a day to God, I want to be a blessing. You want to know joy of giving. You want giving to come away from that part of I've got to give to the point of, Lord, let me do it again. You see, you got to be prepared. You've got to wake up with that attitude of, Lord, open the door if you're going to know the joy of being prepared to give. Then the second thing, the joy of personal giving. Do you realize giving is everyone's responsibility? The government is not responsible to take care of me. And his government is not responsible to take care of you. I don't want them to take care of me. I have a God-given responsibility to take care of myself and to be a blessing to others. Okay? I don't, you know, And if you're receiving aid from the government right now, that's fine. Maybe you're in that position where you need that. Great. But I hope you're working to get out of that position. I truly do. Didn't receive very many amens there, but that's all right. It's not the government's job to take care of people. It's your job. My job. If you'll notice, Paul said, let each one of you, when you come together, and notice the strong language he used. He said, as I've given orders to Galatia, so must you do. You get the sense of urgency and the sense of importance. Paul reminds them of their responsibility to look beyond themselves. And let me give you this. We do got to get out of that what's in it for me attitude. Okay? If you want to know the joy of giving, you got to get rid of that what's in it for me attitude. But Paul's reminding this church at Corinth to look beyond themselves to the needs of the brothers and sisters in Christ and assume personal responsibility. I'm going to do something about it. How many times have you ever said somebody should do something? Have you ever said that? Boy, y'all are quiet this morning. Have you ever said somebody should do something? Say amen if you've heard that statement. Anyway, guess what? We're the somebody. You and me, we are the ones, the stewards that God has placed upon this earth to make a difference. To show the love of Christ every day that we live. Assume personal responsibility. Don't wait for others to give. You see, oftentimes we think, well, somebody ought to do something. That's those other folks' responsibility. That's those folks. That's those folks that can afford to give. That's the folks that can afford to help. Oh, do you know why they can afford to give? Do you know why they can afford to help? Because they have a willing, giving heart. And God entrusts them with more so they can be a bigger help. I truly believe if you want to work your way out of financial hardship, start giving. Okay? The fact is, and I've said this before, and you've heard missionaries say this, God might not give to you what He'll give through you. All right? He will enable you to be a help. Maybe to a missionary. Maybe to your neighbor. Maybe to your family. Maybe to your church. But assume personal responsibility and make it your personal goal in life to be a blessing and to make a difference in the lives of other people. There's nothing like laying down at night with that good feeling of knowing I was a blessing today. See, that's the joy of giving. When you take it personally. I also want you to know the joy of praise giving. Do you realize giving is worship? Giving is worship. It is. Giving is worship. Paul said on the first day of the week, they were going to worship service. You have Paul's giving them instruction. When you go, come prepared to give your share for that week. Do you realize the blessing it is to come to church and to be able to place an offering into the kingdom of God? I want to tell you something. That just feels good. That is a blessing. Knowing my church can count on me to give. Knowing that God can count on me to be faithful. Psalms chapter 96 verse 7-8 says, give unto the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory. Do His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Do you realize that your offering will reflect how you feel about God? It really does. Have you ever thrown $2 in the plate and called that good? Oh, let me tell you something. Hold on before you do that. I want you to understand when you come together, when you praise giving, you want to know the joy of praise giving, that you're not just, that this isn't about giving to a church. It isn't about giving to a preacher. It isn't about just giving to a missionary. It's about giving to God. Okay? It's giving to God who gave you. He owns everything you have anyway, right? All right? And so when you come in to worship, the offering that you give is a reflection of what you think of God. And we want our offerings to be pleasing and acceptable to God. Okay? I would suggest before you make an offering that you think about, how does God view my offering? Paul said in Philippians 4:8, he kind of gives us insight to the our goal for praise giving. In Philippians 4:18, the Philippians had sent him an offering. He said, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you." And get this part. "A sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Do you realize, as I said, your offering reflects how you feel about God? Now, I want to ask you, how does God feel about your offering when you're doing praise worship? Is it a sweet-smelling aroma? I've got to be honest with you. Confession time, confessions of a minister. There have been times in my life that my offering stunk. You know? Because it was too little. It wasn't to give God the glory. It was just all wrong. We praise God by our money and our use of money. And when you lay that offering in the plate, your goal of praise giving should be a sweet smelling and acceptable sacrifice. How does God look at it and He says, "Yes, that's my child." See, that's what I want with God and my offering. I want Him to receive that offering. And I'm not talking about showing it off or anything. I'm talking about I want God to say, "Yes, that's my faithful steward." Placing that offering in the offering plate. If you want to know the joy of praise giving, here it is. Okay? Philippians 4:18. How does God view your offering? Then let's go to the joy of pattern giving. What I'm talking about there is being systematic. Paul said on the first day of the week. The idea there was each week. Every week. So you had a pattern. Okay? Each week, as part of their worship, they would bring an offering. And they would give this offering every week. Every week. Week in and week out. Why do we point that out? Because oftentimes we get to the point of we think, "I gave last month. I gave 2 months ago. I gave 3 weeks ago." Okay? Now, again, I remind you, I'm not just talking about church offering. I'm talking about overall life offering. All right? Look at what I did 3 weeks ago. Let me ask you something. What did you do yesterday? What have you done so far today? Where has your giving been? Yeah, it has to be. Well, I'm going to share with you. Psalms 103:2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits." You see, you've got to come to that point in life where you realize it doesn't belong to you anyway. You realize that? You say, "Well, Brother Doug, it's my money." No, it's not. It came from God. Let's be realistic. Okay? God has given you every dime that you have. Every dime. Every dime. Don't forget it. And when you use that dime, that nickel, or that penny, when you use it to bless the Lord. Use it so that you can have that attitude, "Lord, you can count on me if you place it in my care. If you place it in my trust, I'm going to be that faithful and consistent steward. You know, there's just a joy in knowing that God can count on you. You know? And I'll give you an example. My children know that they can count on their daddy. Okay? If it's in my power, beloved, I'm going to provide what I can to my children. We went to Oklahoma City yesterday to move my daughter, who is 22 years old. You know, and we moved her into an apartment. Why? Because she had a need, and Daddy's going to be there for that need. And you know, when we left yesterday about 3 o'clock, we left Oklahoma City, and we were tired. But there was this feeling of satisfaction that I did my job as a daddy. I took care of my little girl. Let me tell you something. God has entrusted us. And there is a great satisfaction in knowing when we have taken the blessings that God has given to us and used that so that God can say, "That's my servant. I can count on him." That has to be our desire, our pattern. And do you know, right now there's better opportunity than ever to be faithful in our giving. You know? Now, next week, Brother Michael, I think Brother Michael is going to start sharing some new giving opportunities that we have. But I just got to throw this out there for you. Okay? Did you know you can give cash? I say that because society, you know, we don't hardly use that anymore. But you can give cash. Guess what else? You can give online. Is that not the coolest thing ever? You can give online. Guess what else? You can swipe and go. I'm serious. We have a kiosk machine back there. And I know there are those that say, "Oh, you shouldn't do that." Let me tell you something. That's the way we live now. I go to Walmart, I swipe and go. I go through the drive-thru, I swipe and go. This morning, I came into church, I swiped and went. You know something else really cool? There's an app for that. You can do we've got a phone app for that. My point is, okay? And brother, like I say, Brother Michael is going to, he knows the details. I just know what works and what doesn't. And if it doesn't work when I do it, then, you know, I know this isn't working. But anyway, God has given us all kinds of opportunity to give within the church. Be faithful in your giving. Okay, He's given us all kinds of opportunities to give every day that we live. Be faithful in your giving. There is a joy in knowing that what God has placed in your trust, you're going to be faithful with. And that's simply the point there. Then I want you to know the joy of prosperity giving. And I'm not talking about to name it and claim it. Okay, I'm not a believer in the name it and claim it. But I do know that there is joy in prosperity giving. Paul said that they were to give as God had prospered them. Each week, the saints at Corinth were to consider how God had prospered them, and they were to give back based upon that prosperity. And this would be just a continual reminder of the blessings that God had placed within their care. See, sometimes I forget to be thankful. Do you? I do. But you know what my faithful giving does? My faithful giving reminds me I need to be thankful, because every time I make a donation, I remember that it came from God. Every time that I figure up how much are my tithes, I remember that it came from God. And yes, I do believe in tithing. All right? I tithe. I think it is a scriptural foundation from the very beginning of the Bible. It's taught throughout the Bible. And you know, the people that don't believe in tithing are the ones that don't tithe. I figured that out. Listen. 10% is a good place to start with your church giving. Okay? And it is. It's throughout the Bible. And I think it's good to ask ourselves how we're doing every once in a while. I'm going to share with you something. Okay? I'm going to share this with you not to rake somebody over the coal, but because I know that there are people who are missing the blessing of giving. The joy of giving. Okay? We have 225 families in this church. Families, not individuals, but families. Now, if we took an average income of each family, and we went low side, or I went low side, average income of if the household makes $50,000 a year, okay? That is, you may say, Brother Doug, I don't make $50,000. Well, you may not, but there are some people that blow $50,000 way out of the water. So, you know, $50,000 is a low side estimate, all right? If the average income of each household of our church family was $50,000, the tithing income on the church would be $1,125,000 a year in tithes alone. That does not include offering. We're a little bit off that. As a matter of fact, our budget amount is somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000. Do you know why? Because some folks are missing the joy of faithful tithing. Say, Brother Doug, I can't afford it. Listen to me. I'm sharing this with you. You will never be able to afford tithing until you start tithing. Okay? You will never. And I'll tell you what, I believe you can give your way out of trouble. I truly do. You have trouble, I give you this challenge. You have trouble each month. Brother Doug, there's just more month than there is money. Every month I'm short. I tell you, I challenge you. 6 months, make a tithing commitment. Make a tithing commitment for 6 months. And after that 6 months, if you're not in better financial shape, then don't tithe anymore. And during that 6 months, if you need help paying your electric bill, you come see me. Okay? Now, I'm not going to look back in the records and check out your giving. I'm not going to do it. But if you tell me, Brother Doug, I've been faithfully tithing the last 2 months, and I got an electric bill I can't pay, I'll help you pay it. I will. That's how much I believe that God rewards faithful stewardship. I know He does. So the challenge is to tithe. You say, Brother Doug, okay, and I love this part. I absolutely, you start talking about tithing, the question comes, Brother Doug, is that gross or net? Always that question's asked. Always. And it makes me smile. Because yes, I think it's funny. You hadn't quite gotten to that giving attitude yet. But I understand. There's a time when I wasn't there. But Luke chapter 6, verse 38, we're given insight to gross or net. Either God's word's true or it's not. Amen? All right? Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, either God told us the truth or He did not. And beloved, God is not a liar. All right? Now, we take Luke 6:38. This is New Testament. Literally, for with the same measure that you use, whatever measure, however you choose to give, okay? If you choose to be generous, then God's going to use a generous measure back to you. If you choose to be greedy and self-centered and it's all about you and it's gimme, 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 take, 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 that's going to be measured back to you. If you wonder why you fought and fought and fought and can't seem to get out of the hole, Luke 6:38. That's the answer. And listen, friends, I am not trying to get your money. I promise you, I'm not. My salary's been paid, and I get the same whether you, no matter what. All right? I'm trying to help you. Honestly. Literally. I'm trying to help you. It amazes me that I have time and time again figured that there's no way that things should add up. But they always do. Luke 6:38 is the answer. We're talking about church giving. We're talking about life giving. We're talking about every day that you live to get up with this attitude of being a blessing. You see, we live in a country where it's all about me. You know? Have it your way. We're here to serve you. And you hear all these slogans and we get the mentality that, you know, church is all about me and what I can get, and living life is all about me and what I can accumulate and treasure up. Let me tell you something. That is one of the most miserable existences that anybody can have, when they live a life that it's all about me. You want to be happy? You want to know joy? Learn how to give. Learn how to put the needs of others before your own. Learn how to be faithful steward of what God has placed within your care. You want to know the joy of laying your head down at night. Be a blessing to somebody during the day. You may be here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm ready to introduce to you the beginning of joy. You need to be saved. You need to know that if you die today, you'd spend eternity in heaven. My friends, Jesus is the only way for that. It's not about you being good. It's not about you earning anything. It's not about anything except a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died upon Calvary for your sins. Okay? Have you called upon Him for salvation? Have you started that walk? You may be here today and you've always said, one of these days, one of these days, one of these days. And I'm going to tell you, one of these days finally runs out. Okay? God is giving you today. Will you call upon Him as Lord and Savior? Maybe you're already saved, gotten off track. It's all about me. Maybe it's time to get back on track and realize it's all about being a blessing of God. A channel of blessing. The love of God flowing through us. Whatever your spiritual need is, this invitation is for you. The altar is open. If you need to speak to me or to Brother Michael or Brother Greg or someone, come forward. And let's leave here. Let's leave here a people on a mission. A mission from God. To be a blessing. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. We praise You, Lord, for the joy of giving. The joy of being a blessing to others. The joy of changing lives and making a difference. And Lord, I pray for myself that I'll be able to set this example. And not just in my financial giving, but in my life giving. That Lord, each day when I wake, that I will get out of bed looking for that opportunity to be a blessing and to give.
And Lord, I pray that we as a church would have a renewed commitment and a renewed attitude towards You and toward our faithfulness to You. Lord, have Your will and Your way in this church. Most of all, Lord, I pray for the lost to be saved. In Jesus' name I pray.